Clear the screen, shift the scene. You're the writer of this dream. Let go of fear, let go of doubt. Stop playing the version that pulls you out. Clear the screen, clear the noise. Choose again, you've got the choice. The story changes when you see. Anxiety came to set you free.
Welcome back to another episode of the Clear the Screen podcast. I am Melissa Dealey.
And I am Billy Adme, and this is where anxiety ends and abundance begins. We are extremely, extremely honored and excited to have the most beautiful Dr. Adriana James as our guest today. As you all know, we are big fans of timeline therapy, and this is the closest source that we could get to that. So welcome, 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 Dr. Adriana. We're so honored and grateful to have you here today.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here and glad to be with you.
Thank you, Adriana. And I'd love to introduce you a little bit to the audience. Adriana has built on the foundation of Tad James's work and added new processes and paradigms to the evolving field of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, and timeline therapy with developments in health, relationships, and the mind-body connection. She developed the NLP coaching trainers training in a new technique in the timeline therapy series of techniques regarding old anchors, which can trigger negative emotions in the present based on old experiences. Dr. Adriana James is an incredibly strong and positive role model for women all over the world. And that's another reason we're so excited to have her here with us. Her genuine warmth and intelligence combined with her desire to empower both men and women is enchanting and irresistible. She has published a bestseller book, Values and the Evolution of Consciousness, a book about how to take advantage of the massive changes which the world is going through, and more importantly, how to negotiate the difference between where we are and where we are going. So, Adriana, I love all of the work that you have done in your life, and even before you came into the world of NLP and met Tad, you had a very successful career of your own. And I'd love to just share your journey as you shifted from one career to another and moved through that transition.
Well, Melissa and Billy, here is the thing. It feels like a previous lifetime.
I'm sure.
Yes. To refer to it, in my previous life, I've been doing, you know, violin. Yes, I have a master's degree in classical music, music education, namely violin performing. And I've done everything I wanted to do in violin. As I grew up, I started very early in life with music. And by the age of three, I knew how to cursively write. I know that's a bygone era. Nobody writes cursively nowadays, but that's how it was at the time, and multiplication table. And then immediately I started with music. I learned how to sing in starting with simple songs. And then by age of five, I started violin. And I thought that was it for the rest of my life, right? And I did 17 years of competition nationally in Romania, my country of birth, but also internationally in other European countries. I got a lot of prizes and so on and so forth. And then I said, okay, I've done this. Then I left Romania, and through a series of happenings, I ended up in Australia at the beautiful Sydney Opera House. Like, you know, this thing that you look in the pictures, and at least me at the time, you know, they're, wow, this is one of the wonders of the world, right? And I ended up playing in the orchestra there, and I ended up as a concertmaster of the orchestra, teaching also at the conservatorium. And I said, this is it. But life probably had other ideas, because I started to be interested in this elusive thing called the mind, and I began to read little tidbits of information that somehow there is a connection between mind, emotions, and the physical body's health. So physical health, mind health, and emotional health. And that fascinated me. So then I looked around and I started learning about NLP and then timeline therapy, of course, because I studied my master practitioner with Dr. Ted James. And at the time when we started, Ted had the following two impressions on me. First of all, I thought that this guy is so strange, the way he approaches things in such a different way of of approaching all the problems and the victim mentality that I was used to as I grew up in Romania, because everything was, you know, other people's fault, and he turned all of that around. So I thought he would unzip himself and is this alien coming out or something. And secondly, at the same time, I thought he's an arrogant, you know what, because he exuded this self-esteem, which easily can be interpreted as arrogance, right? Because all of us, I grew up in a society where all of us were unsure, permanently unsure of who am I, what am I worth, am I good enough, am I intelligent enough, am I dot, dot, dot enough. And here he is, very confidently on stage, taking interaction with people, not in a academic fashion, you know, like I'm going to lecture you and you're going to listen. No, very friendly, very interactive. And yet he was solid on his own 2 feet, very, very self-confident. It always looked like arrogance, but it wasn't. Later on, 3 years later, we got together and then we got married and we've been together for teaching together from the very beginning of our relationship until his unfortunate passing a few years ago. I know that one of the reasons why I've done this is to continue the work in timeline therapy, which was his legacy that he left to the world. I am absolutely, of course, I'm invested. Of course, I'm invested. But based on the feedback, based on the results that I see with literally hundreds and hundreds of people I taught over the years, and also personal clients, I can absolutely confidently say that there is no other technique in the world that allows you to let go. Here is the big thing. Not to deal with, not to feel better about, not to understand your traumatic, negative emotional experiences from the past, but to let go of the load, the emotional load that we all carry with us. Because life happens. For some people, more traumatic than for others, but life happens for all of us. And there is no other technique that allows you to let go of that trauma and to realize that, yes, life is worth living and one can be happy. You can be happy and you can have what you want once those blockages that follow you from your past are gone. The memories are still there, but the blockages that you feel inside you, the negative emotions that you carry with you, those are gone. And there is no other technique that allows you to do this but timeline therapy. So here I am, vouching to continue the legacy, and I keep doing this, and I'm very proud of people like you, Melissa and Billy, who are continuing this. And you understand timeline therapy. You understand its value. So I'm very honored to be here with you.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Adriana. And we, Melissa and I, are definitely soldiers in this army of light. And, you know, speaking, you know, personally, as, you know, being a retired police officer after 20 years and having been mandated to go to therapy. And now we know when you talk about this, like the traumatic event, it just deepens the neurology and it deepens the memory of it. I know when I first heard of timeline therapy, that you can, you know, release this trauma without talking about it. That just shifted so much in my mind. I'm like, what do you mean you don't have to talk about it? Because that's the programming that says we have to go talk about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And so when I actually experienced it for the first time, it was one of those things where, like, you can't put words to it, right? You just understand that, like, you feel different. Your nervous system is just settled and it's calm. And as we say, like, the chatter just kind of gets quiet up here, right? It's not as much of this, you know, the angel and the devil, I call it, right? Like, you want to do this, but are you good enough? But you want to do this, but are you smart enough? And all this constant battle. And I know I asked you one time, because obviously, you know, Melissa and I, it's our mission to get this into every household and for timeline therapy to become a household name. I remember asking you, you know, when people said, well, what's timeline therapy? And I kind of go through it and I asked you one time, if NLP and hypnotherapy had a baby, would it be timeline therapy? Because that's a conscious, unconscious integration. So can you talk a little bit more about that and how it actually came about? And, you know, obviously we've heard about how TAD created it, but we would love to hear it from you, how it all kind of came to creation.
So first of all, let's talk about this two sides that you mentioned. So NLP and then hypnosis. Yeah, on the surface, NLP is concerned more with how we communicate, how we construct thoughts and beliefs and decisions inside our heads. So the how to, not why, but how we do it. Because most people think, but I just talk, right? I just thought, and thoughts come to me. Well, these are two mistakes in logic. First of all, you don't just talk. Unconsciously, you pick certain words to describe life experiences. Because what are words? Just simply labels we use with each other to be able to share some experiences that we have. That's pretty much it. In a nutshell, I mean, I'm simplifying. Of course, I'm simplifying, grossly oversimplifying here, but pretty much that's what labels, namely words, are. Then so they appeal on the surface mostly to the conscious mind. We understand it consciously. We have reason and logic why we do what we do and how the order we do it in such a way that we achieve the results that we're after, namely some behavioral modification that change what we do that doesn't get results, and we modify that into another behavior or set of behaviors that lead to actually what we want instead. So that's NLP. Now, on the other hand, hypnosis has been around, NLP has been around only from the 70s, okay? But on the other hand, hypnosis, it's been around for a very long time. Actually, the hypnosis has been around as long as mankind. It hasn't been called hypnosis. You both know very well as master trainers of hypnosis that it's in 1843 when the name, with James Braid, the name hypnosis actually started to catch on into the society, but it's been a long time since. I mean, it's 117 years since. Yeah. So hypnosis operates mostly at the unconscious level or subconscious level. Some people call it the subconscious. Anyway, below the threshold of consciousness. Okay? Below the threshold of consciousness. And it gives us, there is no magic or mystic to hypnosis, I'm sorry to say. People may think that, oh, is this magical, mystical thing? No, it's not. Actually, there are very clear methods, very logical and very consciously understandable methods of how to penetrate through the critical faculty in such a way that suggestions take root in what we call the subconscious or the unconscious mind for the same purpose, behavioral modification, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Now, so we have the two extreme, only the conscious level and then involving the unconscious level. Now, timeline therapy is in the middle, and I love the metaphor. It's kind of a baby of the two because it presupposes conscious-unconscious integration. So what do I mean by that? It's simply we talk consciously with the unconscious mind in such a way, again, that allows us to let go of limiting decisions, limiting beliefs, negative emotions from the past only. And also, it gives us a very particular technique of how to use the future timeline so that we create future goals that we want to achieve. So indeed, timeline therapy, it is a marriage between the two. Because this is the thing. Imagine that the conscious rational mind that we all have, right? The mind that we use when we say, I do this, or I decide this, or I choose this. That's the conscious mind, right? And has certain purposes and certain direction. On a parallel track, we have the body's intelligence, which is pretty much what the unconscious mind is. Super intelligent. It takes care of the functioning of your body. It's one of the functions of the unconscious mind, right? And yet, is not designed to think. It's not designed for logic and reason. It doesn't operate that way. So number one, once we understand how this part of us that we call the unconscious mind, what are its functions, what's designed to do and what's not designed to do, and then we learn how to communicate with that part of us. Yes, there are many ways of communicating directly with the unconscious mind, right? We can then put together, see, if we have parallel tracks, by definition, parallel tracks never meet. So they go like this, right? Never meet. Now, What if we have a way of having them, instead of running parallel, in joining together and running like a unified module? Because what do you know? Maybe consciously we have a different direction or different goals compared to what unconscious mind thinks that we should. So if the two never meet, and if the goals and objectives are different, then the person feels, and you know this, you heard people, and your audience can relate to this. It's a universal human experience. You hear people say, heart says this, mind says that. And they feel like there is a conflict inside themselves at the deepest level. And this could be an example of that. So this is indeed the genius of timeline therapy. The main unspoken presupposition of timeline therapy is conscious unconscious integration. And so conscious mind. We don't get in trance. We don't induce hypnosis. We don't do anything. Actually, we are totally conscious, totally awake. And yet we learn how to elicit responses and communicate directly with this part of us, which we call the unconscious mind. I hope this makes sense.
Yes, absolutely. And that's what we explain it like it's having that, you know, head and heart coherence, right? That alignment between the minds.
Right.
And so that when it kind of comes back to that analogy of, you know, your brain's not fighting with each other anymore. It's just quieter.
You say
the conscious mind is the goal setter and the unconscious mind is the goal getter. So if you say you want a goal, your unconscious mind goes and gets it to you instead of talking you out about, well, are you good enough? Are you smart enough? And all these things, right? So it's getting into alignment towards your goal.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why, and because you teach this in your trainings, a very important issue is how do we then define the goal so that it's very clear, understandable for the unconscious mind. There is, again, no magic to the process of, you mentioned the unconscious mind is the goal getter, right? There's no magic to that either. It's simply a reticular activating system, which is a function. It's a system in the body that scans like a radar. Imagine a radar like this, scans permanently for similarities. Well, similarities to what? Well, similarities to what you define very precisely as your goals. The more foggy and unclear your mind is about what you want, the more foggy and unclear the results would be. I mean, as you think of it, it makes total sense.
And so often, because we're taught to be in our conscious mind, and that's the intelligence, we overcomplicate things because the unconscious mind is like a toddler. And so to your point that our goals have to be very clear and simple and well-defined for the unconscious mind to understand them in just a few words rather than some, you know, paragraph long, you know, set of goals that, yes, the conscious mind can understand. And that's creating the fog for the unconscious mind because we overcomplicate it.
Right. See, this is one of the reasons why I got into NLP, to be really honest. You have to remember, based on my background, growing up in a socialist/communist country, fear was the rule of the day. So therefore, we were all motivated away from. We were afraid of this, afraid of that. I hope this doesn't happen. I hope the other doesn't happen. So everything, we were always contemplating what could go wrong. Yeah, this is a stick-based motivation.
Yeah. Yes.
So I carried that with me, even if I left Romania when I was very young. And then I lived in Germany for a few years, and then I moved to Australia, as I said. And in Australia, after a few good bunch of years in working at the opera house, as I said, in the orchestra there, I went to, and many people can relate to this, I went to have a tarot reading, or tarot, depending which country you're in, right? So, because I wanted to know my future, right? I didn't know anything about NLP at the time. I didn't know anything about anything, right? So I went to have a tarot reading. And the lady that was supposed to do the reading for me was late. And so this other lady in this mind-body center, in Australia, they have these mind-body centers which have to do with energy session, yoga, hypnosis, all sorts of alternative forms of healing or, you know, meditation classes, timeline regression and stuff like this. And so this lady comes in and I'm waiting in the hallway and this lady comes and talks to me. Why are you here? Well, you know, I want to have a tarot reading. Well, what's up? And it's anything difficult in your life? And then you guys know me very well. I really am a bit of a perfectionist. So when I do something, I try to do my best to do it well. I won't bother to begin something unless I put all my effort and everything I can to do it well. Well, complaining was one of those. I did it very well. No, seriously, I think this lady had the patience of an angel, because for 45 minutes, imagine listening to somebody, may I say the word bitch and complain? Okay, I did. So complain for 45 minutes about everything under the sun that was wrong in my life. And everything was wrong, obviously. So after that, she asked me one question, which you will recognize as an LP question, of course. Okay, you told me what you don't want anymore. What do you want instead?
Dramatic question, yeah.
You know, which seemed as like an eternity, my mouth went like with the other side. I did not know. All I knew was my past negative experiences. All I knew was my anger, my frustration, my sadness and fears. And all. That's all I knew. I didn't know what I wanted instead. And then I uttered the most hazy and cloudy and muddled possible, you know, goal for the future. I want more happiness. But how do you quantify that? What does that even mean, right? But I didn't know how to think. And so she said to me something very interesting. She said, well, you moved already through several countries. And she says, you can move again. You can leave Australia, move again, which, by the way, I did, because I lived in the States, you know, since 2000. But anyway, you can change places, and the faces of the people you are going to interact with will change, obviously. But one thing will never change. And I got it. I immediately got it. I said, that's me, isn't it? And she said, yes. So unless you change something, you're going to have the same type of experiences with other faces. Mm-hmm. There'll be different faces, and I got it. I remember like it was yesterday. It was a defining moment. I'm very grateful to this lady. By the way, she was one of Ted's graduates. I had no idea at the time. She was trained well, right? And then that got me to it. And when I got to timeline therapy, and as you said, Melissa, at the beginning, Billy, I think it was you, as you said, you know, you feel different. It's like something that weighed on you. It's gone. And it's a very strange sensation, because you could feel it before. You got used to it. That's how it is. But then the comparison, when it's gone, your neurology is free. And I don't know for you, but for me, it feels like it's, it's such a relief.
Yeah. One of our students, our graduates, describes it as, it's like having the washing machine and the vacuum cleaner and the dishwasher and the kettle all going at once inside your mind. And then you do timeline therapy and everything's turned off. And she had no idea all of that was running inside her head until she did timeline therapy and experienced it being turned off.
Yeah, because you don't have a contrast. You just think this is how it is.
Exactly. It's the way it's always been.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
That's your homeostasis. Like, that's the level that you're at. That's just your new normal, right? And then you go somewhere else and then you're like, oh, okay, this is how it actually feels like when it's quiet.
Right? Exactly. But there are implications here. There are implications, first of all, for our mental health, right? Because if all of that goes on all the time, then people experience trouble sleeping. They are obsessing about solving their life problems and all this. And as you said, it's so much noise up here. There is not a moment of, I can't even take a breath. I can't even hear myself think of the noises in my own head, right? It's very hard to even think. But then there's also physical consequences, because that continuous stress, I mean, everybody knows continuous stress results in health effects. Let's keep it very simple.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, our bodies are designed to deal with stress of short duration. But when stress is of high intensity and for a longer duration, of course, there are health issues. Of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. We love that we bring that into this training as well, and talking about the higher, you know, the all the bodies, right? The mental, emotional, spiritual body, and that, you know, your body, when it gets to your physical body, it just wants you to pay attention, right? That's all it's saying is pay attention to the higher bodies. And that's, again, programming that we don't realize that we, you know, if it's telling us something, it's speaking to us, right? Our emotions are just messengers. So
exactly.
Yeah. The other thing we want you to really talk about, Dr. Adrian.
I just want to mention, pardon me for interrupting. I just want to mention something because it's very important for your audience to recognize. Timeline therapy doesn't take into account the spiritual aspect. It's not designed to. Mm-hmm. So it takes into account the physical, obviously, by dint of changing behavior, changing mind patterns, changing emotional patterns, so the body can heal and feels relieved of all the stress. Obviously, the mental, we talked, and emotional. But timeline therapy is not designed to take into account the spiritual aspect. And you know, I'm doing other trainings that are particularly designed for that. However, timeline therapy didn't design it at all for the spiritual aspect. Now, it has implications. It has implications because, you know, if anybody who studied any esoteric or occult or mystical type philosophies or things, any of the things like this, recognizes that negative emotions, there is an old saying, cross-cultural, negative emotions bind your consciousness to earth. So there are implications. However, they didn't design it for spiritual purposes. Just wanted to mention that to make sure that it's how he designed it.
Yeah, we appreciate it. And that's why we think, you know, NLP and, you know, all like timeline therapy, hypnosis, it's the beginning. It's the doorway in. I mean, you know, Melissa and I say this all the time. The more we learn, the more we realize we don't know, because we open up another level of our consciousness and awareness, as you say, which kind of leads into what I was going to ask you was, you know, values, because you're the expert. You know, I loved your book, The Values of the Evolution of Consciousness, and how that really shifted how I see the world, right? Because we're not all the same. We don't all have the same level of awareness, nor are we supposed to. We're all at different levels. And that really helped me have a lot more compassion for humanity and, you know, a lot more forgiveness for the way people are. Obviously, one of our presuppositions is, you know, people are doing the best they can with the resources they have. And right now, so much of the world is not very resourced. And so I'd love for you to talk about how, like, where you see, because right now, you know, with the war going on, at the time of this filming, June 17th, 2026, you know, there's so much chaos in the world. And can you speak to values and how maybe, you know, people can kind of take a little bit of that knowledge and just kind of breathe a little and just not get too caught up in, you know, the chaos of it, the drama of it?
Well, let's put it this way. We are all caught up in it because what's happening affects us at the global level. You know, no matter where you are on the planet, directly or indirectly, economically, through trade, routes, resources, we are all affected. See, we are already one world, which is, by the way, I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's just about time that we unite and operate as humanity as a whole rather than bits and pieces. And hopefully, you know, if we all get to understand that, we're going to create a better world in which we don't need to have wars at all. That being said, we are in the midst of a massive, massive transition of all kinds. And this is primarily driven by the technological advances happening no matter where you are on the planet. Actually, it's kind of hard to find a place nowadays because of the satellite communication where you're not connected. I mean, you are in the middle of the Amazonian jungle, you know, you connect with a satellite and you have a phone call and you talk to, I don't know what country, all over the world, wherever you are in the world. So that says a lot because think of it in terms of our capacity to adapt. Yes, it is my belief, and this is just my belief, yeah, that it's our destiny as human beings to do things better, faster, more economic, and more efficient. Yes, this is my personal belief. Some of your audience may disagree, but this is my belief. Let's look at only what happened 120 years ago. We were still moving around with the horse and the buggy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't it?
Crazy.
That's only 120 years ago. Yeah. That's nothing. It's a little, you know, speck of, you know, a sand or anything like this. It's nothing compared to the history of this planet. And yet here we are. horse and buggy, and we're going putting people on the moon and having a device this tiny little bit that's called your phone that has, I don't know how many, what is it, magnified by what? The amount of power in this little handheld device compared to what was used in the 60s when, you know, the first people went to the moon, where you had computers the size of several rules and gigantic things. So the progress is almost like we're struggling mentally, but also behaviorally, to catch up with the fast changes, the tremendous speed with which things are changing all around us. Think of it, even 15 years ago, what is that? Nothing. Yeah. 15 years ago, people were not yet used to all the social media, different social media ways of interacting. Now it is an expectation that I can talk anytime with anybody all around the world. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely. But that has changed our beliefs. That has changed our decisions, our choices, the way we behave, our behavior. And so this is massive. It's almost a little faster that we are used to. It's almost like we're running a little behind the technology, if that makes sense, right? And so depending on the environment, because environment is different. An environment in a West African country, for instance, is different from the environment in Mesoamerica, Canada, or any European country, or Japan, or, you know, South Asian countries. The environment itself is different. Depending on the environment and the ability of people's neurology to adapt to that environment, people form ways of thinking and also ways of behaving, which are what we call values levels. There are 8 known, and I postulate that we actually deal with 9 different ways of thinking, again, depending on the environment. Somebody who works in aerospace at Lawrence Livermore Labs in America will have a very different environment compared to, let's say, somebody who lives in the mountains of Bolivia. Now, the people in Bolivia are not stupider, because the ways of thinking, now that is a very important to say, the ways of thinking have nothing to do with IQ. Right. Ways of thinking are simply a response, a neurological response to the environmental input that we receive from the outer world, and we respond behaviorally in ways which ensures what? Our survival.
Right.
Yeah. So depending on the environment, then we have these different ways of thinking. Now imagine somebody that is in a way of thinking which favors green economy, save the planet, consciousness development, stuff like this. And you take this person from an environment where they're used to operate, and you put them in a theater of war, like in Lebanon or in the Ukraine or anywhere else in the world where they're, you know, war-like situations, or in countries, again, like Syria or Iraq, where there is a lot of tribal infighting and terrorism and stuff like that. Well, what do you think their chance for survival would be? Probably 30 seconds, I'd say. So our neurology simply responds to the input that we receive. And speaking of the unconscious mind, it's again, we do this automatically. Mm-hmm. We do this. Sure, we have logical strategies. Okay, because by training, we install, Billy, you know, better than anybody else. You know, you have strategies for how to react in threat situation and so on. Of course. But ultimately, your body responds faster than your mind. We know this. So when we are under stress, and the changes that are happening in the world nowadays put us all under stress just by the nature of the fact that it's a change. Yes? So then under stress, we respond with automatic, unconscious behaviors. And so you see people in producing interesting behaviors that they go, it's almost like it hasn't been me. What just happened to me? Or conversely, you see people who go, I feel like I need to do something, but I can't. I feel like I'm frozen, like I'm stuck. And I know I need to do something better, but I can't even move. Now, the solution to this and the solution to allow more flexibility of behavior to deal with the input I'm talking about, of course, it's timeline therapy. So there is some sort of a connection in progression through these 8 levels of values, which we call values levels, which I repeat are just ways of thinking and behavioral ways of reacting to the input from the external world and timeline therapy. And all this makes sense.
It makes total sense. And it's what we love so much about it. And me in particular, with my integrative health practitioner background and seeing all the illness in the world, all the chronic disease in the world that's out there. And coming back to what you said earlier, that as we're all under this stress, it's firing our nervous system and we're stuck in that state, and that causes dis-ease, as well as all of those negative emotions that we carry from the trauma in our, you know, history of our life and past lives and generationally passed down is causing energy blockages, which over time causes dis-ease. And timeline therapy is this beautiful tool that allows us to, you know, not only get back into sync neurologically with our environment, and in that process of navigating change, release the stress of it, release the stuff down negative emotion, and heal the body, and thereby lower the risk of dis-ease forming in our lives. And
so we're doing an integrative medicine, right? You know then very clearly, better than me and anybody else, Melissa, the fact that certain negative emotions are directly implicated in vision of certain diseases affecting different organs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so this one powerful modality that Dr. Tad James created with his brilliance and all of the research and, you know, even bringing in his Huna clan, you know, background, and then you're continuing and thereby Billy and I can continue, is such a powerful tool for humanity. It's a gift, because if people aren't even realizing the power of it, how it's helping them navigate life just because they feel that. And then on top of that, they're getting the health benefits of it literally clearing out those blocked energies of that negative emotions and then bringing their neurology and their environment back into alignment. It's just, yes. It's not just doing one thing is what I'm saying here. It is doing so much for us when we take the time, and it doesn't take long. 1 hour session.
First of all, it's very short. And this is something else that runs counter to the common belief that we hold, you know, as the everybody knows in society, because we're used to the idea that once something really bad happened to you, number one, you either remain prisoner of that for the rest of your life, so you remain victimized by that and for the rest of your life. And if you manage to free yourself from that, it's a long and arduous process.
Yes.
None of that is correct in timeline therapy. As you say, I mean, how long does it take to let go of a negative emotion? You know, 10 to 15 minutes, and you don't have to relive the event. You don't have to revisit it. You don't have to feel the pain again. You don't have to, none of that. And yet somehow the negative emotion disappears, never to return.
And we love that it's about learnings, right? Because we always say everything is happening for you. And, you know,
yes,
as traumatic as some events are, and, you know, we're not saying that they're not horrible. We honor that, you know, there are horrible things that some people go through. However, it's like I always equate the more traumatic it is, the bigger the lesson is that you're going to learn. Right. And it's all the learnings and that's what, you know, timeline therapy is bringing those learnings to the forefront.
That is true, because unless we get the reason for which we go to certain events, then, you know, we leave purposely, and the unconscious mind goes, I don't have any purpose. I don't have any reason. So I might as well hold on to the negative emotions, right? There is no reason for me to, I don't understand why this has happened. So the learnings as we get provide the reasons for for the unconscious mind, paradoxically, to let go of the emotions because the emotions have served their purpose.
Yes.
And your emotions are useful in the moment. Otherwise, you'll never know if something's wrong. You'll never know if somebody violates your values or crosses your boundaries unless you feel bad, right? So negative emotions have a purpose in the moment.
Yeah. But there's no messenger.
Yeah. No use, exactly. No use to holding your neurology in the body, throughout your whole body, in your heart, in your liver, first of all, in your brain, but also in your heart, in your liver, in all the major organs, the load on those memories of anger that has happened 25 years ago. What's the point of that? Mm-hmm. That isn't any. That isn't any, because this is just not only information overload is, If I may use a metaphor, it's simply like carrying a enormously heavy bag of rocks. Yeah. And every single time something like this happens, you add another rock, and you add another rock, and you add another rock, and you get used to it. You are in it. You go, simply, this is how it is, right? And as I said before, and we were talking just a moment ago, when you take away this and they disappear, all of a sudden goes, I'm light. Life is different, and it is.
Yeah, and life feels lighter. We get that feedback a lot, that I just feel lighter. I know one of our students just left me a voice note the other day saying, something shifted. And she's like, I can't put my finger on it, but I'm not as triggered. And my switch isn't like go off that quickly.
I wonder why.
Right? And I was like, good, that's a great thing. Who cares what happened? At the end of the day, we want to cognize and we want to like understand what actually happened. We're like, look, you could spend your whole life trying to figure out what happens at a neurological level, but our cute little conscious little mind just doesn't have the capacity to understand what the other 90% does, right? However, people want to. And I always say, well, exactly. Your life is better right now, isn't it? And so that's all that matters at the end of the day.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly.
As you said, I just want to be happier, right? How do you quantify that? You don't. Like, how do you feel? Are you maneuvering in the world? And if it's with more ease and more flow and more grace, then hey, it's working. So
there is our flexibility. You know, that one of the basic presuppositions of NLP that we learn from the very, very beginning, one of the basic things that we learn, yeah, is the person with most flexibility of behavior ends up controlling the system. What system? The system called your life.
Yes.
Are you in control of your life, or are other people, external entities, organizations, government, economic, financial, in control of your life? Yes, you are still dealing with that. But the more flexibility of thinking, flexibility of behavior you have, the more control you have over your own life. And it feels good to be in control over your life.
And in NLP term, being at cause, right? Well, I mean, we call that solution city, and, you know, being at effect is victim island, right? That's the analogy that
I use. I love it.
When you're at effect, you're literally on victim island because you're giving your power away. Whereas over here, when you're at cause and life is happening for you, this is where you're standing in your power. And, you know, life is just here to teach you things, right? And it just takes the edge off, like the charge of whatever's happening, right? We don't get stuck in the, why is this happening to me? What can I learn here?
The question why is irrelevant.
Yeah.
I know everybody tries to figure out why it happened to me. But in terms of timeline therapy doesn't look for the why, because it's a structural process. It operates on the structure of how our neurology store those negative emotions.
Yeah.
That's why they disappear, because we don't focus on the why this happened to me. This can be an additional question or additional discussion or additional understanding. Fine. I'm not against it. But not in timeline therapy doesn't focus on that.
Yeah.
Focuses on the structure. How do we put together all the events of anger that have ever happened to us? How do we put together all the events of sadness or all the events of fear? And then once we understand that and we figure it out, then we just pull the thread and you know, we relieve the weight of those. I don't find another word, but it literally is the weight, you know, of those negative emotions on the body, mind, the emotional part of us.
You explain the gestalt's like a pearl necklace, right? You take the end pearl off and the rest of the beans just kind of fall off the necklace, right?
So, right. Exactly.
We make the most amount of change with the least amount of work, right? We're not lazy, we're efficient. That's what I call it.
And how would we struggle?
Yeah, right.
Exactly. And life just becomes easier in flow, we're lighter, and life is more joyful. And who wouldn't want that? So, Adriana, we could talk to you for hours about this. We want to respect your time. We love these conversations. Thank you so much for joining us today. If an audience member is listening to this and wants to learn more about you, your work, your book, how to get hold of it, please share the best way for people to be able to reach out.
The easiest way, my website is nlpcoaching.com. And on social media, my Facebook handle is NLP Adriana James. On Instagram, it's at Adriana NLP. The others were taken, so I couldn't have the same handle everywhere. And on LinkedIn is at Adriana James NLP. This is where they can find me if they want to communicate directly with me or we have questions. I'm answering questions. You guys are the first source for everybody around you in your area, in Canada, in the United States. I know you are doing a great job. I respect you. I love you. And I admire you for putting so much effort into helping people. Because ultimately, my friends, this is what Tanlan Therapy was designed for. To help people make happier lives, more fulfilling, more satisfying lives. And giving people a way of doing this that doesn't involve struggle, that doesn't involve lengthy periods of time, that doesn't involve more piling up trauma, revisiting events, and so on and so forth. And it's almost so easy that it's people go, really? I mean, it's just this much, and it is. And I'm absolutely convinced, looking in retrospect, that if Ted had the purpose for living this life, I was to bring Tanlan Therapy to the world. I'm absolutely convinced of this. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We agree, and we're forever grateful for him to bring this beautiful modality into the world. And, you know, like we said, we're on a big mission to get this out into the world. And, you know, thank you for being such a beautiful role model and being so available. And that's what we really love about your community, is that you're there to answer questions. Because, you know, I was like you when you first started. I had no idea. And I just have a very curious mindset. And so thank you for being patient with all my questions all the time with our trainings. We're looking forward
to love your questions.
Both of us being with you in South Africa this fall. And we're really excited to continue our accelerated personal evolution program with you as well. So thank you for being here, Dr. Adriana. We really appreciate your
Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate you.
Yes, thank you so very much. And I also want to thank our audience for tuning in every week, wanting to learn more about your own mind, how it works, and how you can tap into this beautiful life we talk of that is available to each and every one of us. And if you know someone that needs to hear this, please share this episode with them. If you are enjoying the content in our Clear the Screen podcast, you might like to check out our Clear the Screen course.
The Clear the Screen course is the 6 secrets to ending anxiety and amplifying abundance. It's a transformational experience to shift from anxiety and self-doubt to calm, clarity, and personal power.
Secret number 1 is where we share that the screen is not the problem. Anxiety is just your unconscious mind's signal. It's not the enemy.
Secret number 2 is anxiety is a messenger, not a master.
And secret number 3 is where we clear the static of the past.
Secret number 4 is where we rewire the movie in your mind.
And secret number 5, we align with amplified action.
And then finally, secret number 6 is where we anchor that new frequency.
And click the link in the show notes below in order to learn more and go ahead and register. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of the Clear the Screen show. If you love what you heard, take a screenshot, post it on social media, and tag us, because we would love to celebrate you.
And if you want to go deeper, scan the QR code, check out our Light Circle membership. This is a community where it's going to serve you and uplift you and empower you, because when you end your anxiety, that's where your abundance begins. And when you can amplify you, then you can impact others.